Okay, this is Roy Moore. I worked with David Croft for about 30 years, I think. And I first worked with him on a series called Oh Happy Band, which was written originally as a vehicle for Gordon Kaye. But I think there was a strike or there was some sort of delay. And when they went to do it, Gordon was available. So Harry Worth did it. And there was only one series. But I got on very well with David, and I got to compose a little bit of music, for a little bit of incident music. So he then asked me to do It Ain't Half Hot Mum, which was then sort of coming to the end. I think I did the last couple of series. And while that, I think that was still running, and they started Heidi High. And on that, I was never actually on the programme, but I used to prepare all the music, and you know, anything musical, he used to come to me. And then Hello, Hello, which he did with Jeremy Lloyd. And I composed the signature tune with David for that. And then we did, I think quite a long time after that, was Grace and Favour, which was the follow-up to Are You Being Served? And again, I did the signature tune for that. Then we did, next, I think, was You Rang Me Lord, which was another, was a Jimmy Perry, which was... you know, any of you remember, it was the cast of Heidi High and the part of the cast of Ain't Our Hot Mum. And again, this time I wrote the signature tune with Jimmy did the lyrics and I did the music, and it was sung by Bob Monkhouse rather well, I thought. I mean, it's, not many people knew that he was such a good singer, but he was he'd been in a lot of musicals in his time, and that was one of David's great talents. That he could spot the right person for the right hole. And if you look at the casting of any of his series, I mean, you think, who else could play that part? And then they wrote to the personality of the people in it. And then the last thing I did with him was Oh, Dr. Beeching, which he wrote with a guy called Richard Spendlove. And he did a couple of series about the closing of the railways in the 1960s. And again, I did the signature tune, which was based on... Oh, Mr. Porter, and David wrote new lyrics to that. And then, I mean, Hello, Hello, I did ever such a lot on, because I always played the piano for Edith, so it's always me behind the scenes struggling to find where she was. So I did, you know, 250 programs or something with David, because we did ever such a lot of Hello, Hello, about 90 of those, and then... he was an absolute joy to work with, and he was the best director. He knew all the technical side, but he also knew the artistic side. He knew what was funny, and he knew about music. He could write music. He was a very good singer. I don't know whether you ever heard recordings of David singing, but he was sort of a light baritone in the 50s, and he was in. At his memorial, I played one of the songs that he'd written with Cyril Ornadell. And he was a very, very talented man, enormously talented. But I did a lot of, a lot of the piano stuff for John Clegg, who played Paderewski, I think was the part, wasn't it? And John was very good at miming. I mean, if you see him in the opening sequence, it really does look, you know, he did it very well, and he didn't play at all. But David was very clever. There was one episode where... John Clegg, Paderewski, wanted to give a concert. And of course, that didn't go down very well with the concert party. But they found if they went to the concert, they didn't have to go up the jungle and do something horrible. So they all attended this concert. And the idea was that there were sort of five sequences, and I played a bit of music, a bit of Mozart, and a bit of, you know, stuff that bored them to tears. And they're all sitting there asleep and snoring. And then it dissolved, and then it went to the next piece of music, dissolved, next piece of music. And so by the end of the week, I was playing the pieces reasonably well. Well, David didn't want that. He wanted, you know, the piano to sound horrible. And it's very difficult for a professional musician to play wrong in the right way. You know, if you would deliberately play wrong notes, it just sounds so full. So what he did was, in front of the studio audience, I remember it was 10 to 10 at night, we had 10 minutes to record, and he just picked up my books of music, opened it anywhere and said, play that. So I had to sight read bits of Mozart and bits of Bach and all these things that I had but not the stuff I prepared, and it was absolutely hideous. But he knew, that that's the way, because I would try really hard, and trying hard and going wrong is different from knowing it ever so well and making mistakes. He was very good. There was one episode of Urang Me Lord where he wanted a very bad pit band, so instead of getting a studio band, he got army musicians playing their second instrument. So they really tried very hard, but it was, you know, it sounded yes, a bit rough around the edges, which is what he wanted, you know. But yes, I met somebody. We did some outside filming, and I forget where it was. It was somewhere. It wasn't the usual place, because they always used to do outside filming up in Norfolk somewhere near where David lived. But this time was down near Aldershot, and there was a we were doing a sequence on a lake, I seem to remember, and they had this hideous piano, which had been underwater. So I mean, half of it didn't work, and the bottom half of the piano was about a tone flat, and the top half was a semitone. I mean, so it was just nightmare to play. And the concert party were on a raft on the river, unusual David Croft thing. It somehow got cut adrift, and you know, the end sequence is them sailing off into the sunset, still singing. But David was so good on the technical side. There was a verse, I can't remember who did it, Melvin Hayes, I think. And that had to be done live, because you couldn't lip sync and you couldn't pre-record it. But he knew that the next bit had to be pre-recorded. You know, he knew everything like that. So it was just so easy. You didn't even have to discuss it. He said, oh yeah, we'll do that live. So he was an absolute joy to work with, just a joy. Yet there was quite a lot in that, because I did David and I did the signature tune. And then Edith, you know, who tried to sing. There are quite a lot of episodes where she's singing or somebody else is singing. Jack Haig and Rose Hill sang a song in one of the things, and that was quite challenging. Edith, I mean, she always claimed that she was sort of like a good singer playing band, but she actually, you know, perhaps that's not quite quite the truth. I mean, she could sing a lot better than, I mean, she was obviously trying to, you know, make it worse, but it was quite a challenge trying to find her at times. She sort of just ploughed her own furrow, as they say, you know. But she was great fun. And the thing is that David, if it was funny, it stayed in. I mean, David, you know, he knew when he had a laugh, and he would you know, I worked with him, as I say, from 1980, and we never, ever had a crossword. I mean, he never got, you know, in the studio, there's always tension and there's time things and people are, you know, something goes wrong technically, and he never, ever lost it. I mean, he's just, and if you look at the credits of his programs, you'll see that there's the same sound man and lighting and costumes and things, the same people. There was a sort of, you know, a group of us that all, you know, back the backstage people, and he, you know, he relied on vision mixer. You know, he had a very, very good vision mixer, Hillary, you know, because mixing comedy is really difficult. You know, vision mixing comedy, because you know, you do the it's all right with drama because there's no interruptions, but with comedy, you can say, oh, we're going to cut on that line, we're going to cut to that other person, or what happens, that line is funny, and the audience laugh for 20 seconds. Well, you can't cut away to the person who's not going to speak, because they're standing there with their mouth open. So the, you know, the vision mixer had to feel that, you know, hold that shot with the thing. And I mean, it was just a pleasure to watch, you know, all these clever craft people and make it. And you don't realize, I mean, it's the sort of thing you don't really realize, you know, but because I had lots of time to observe these things. I did appear in one episode, the last episode of Urang Me Lord, which was filmed on Cromer Beach. But I don't remember appearing in Vision in LOLO. We did lots of, incidental music. I mean, I remember doing the Okie Kokie for one of the series. I saw it the other day on the repeat, and we had a small band for that. I did do the last episode of Urang Me Lord, which was filmed on Cromer Beach, supposedly in the summer, but the temperature dropped about 20 degrees, and I was wearing a Piero costume, you know, really thin thing with a, you know, a pointed hat and rosy cheeks. Yes, that was the last episode, wasn't it? The signature tune we Jim and I did at his flat. He lived in a flat in near Victoria, and he was on the top floor, and it didn't have a lift, and he had this very ancient piano which was virtually unusable. And I know once I took an electric piano then I had to carry it up the stairs, but I think it was the last time I ever carried an instrument in my life because it nearly killed me. It was only a few hours doing the signature tune. I think he polished up the lyrics because I think he already had the lyrics mapped out, and then I put a tune to it, and then we, you know, played about and knocked about with it, and then so that didn't take that long, probably an afternoon or, you know, morning and afternoon, something like that. But the incidental music is usually is much easier because I remember there's a chase sequence or the car sequence in one of them, and you get given the cut version with time code on it, and it says it runs 1:36 or something. So you know you've got to write 1:36, and there might be climaxes in the on the screen, you know, or crashes that you've got to hit and all that. And so it's much easier in some ways, because whereas when you write a sick tune, you've got a sort of a brief, but you've got a sort of blank slate. Whereas with that, you've got, you know, it's got to last 1:36 or whatever the timing is, and you've got a certain hit points, and then you work out, well, if I do it at that tempo, I can get that hit on that beat, and it's a bit more technical, you know. You're not it's fun, and David was very good with that, you know. Long before the days, I mean, now with computers you can do demos and things, but most of the stuff I did with him obviously was predated that. And so you'd have to play through with the piano, and it quite often just said, yeah, it's fine. That's and other times you'd say, oh, can you just build it a bit there, or can you do so and so? And he was just a marvelous director. I mean, for everybody, for the actors and the costumes and the lighting, and he didn't interfere. You know, I mean, he stayed out of the way, but he was there. And if it wasn't right, you know, he'd just say, oh, so and so, and you know, or if you've done the same thing twice and it's not what he wants, he might just say, oh, even with lighting, you know, something like sometimes he'd say, oh, well, you're aware there's a shadow, you know, like it's happened twice. And I said, oh, so, I mean, he was really, really good. Really, really good. I mean, he did, you know, and he let people be funny, which is, you know, you can't pull comedy apart. You know, you can never explain why a joke works. And then somebody says the exact same words, it's not funny. And sometimes you can't tell why. You know, I mean, Gordon Kay was the most wonderful reactor. You'll see lots of things in LOLO where somebody has the funny line, but the close-up's on Gordon because of his reaction. And the reaction is so funny that he had to take it. You know, David knew how to mine the comedy gold. Grace and Favour, one of the things was that David didn't want to call it Grace and Favour. He wanted to call it Are You Being Served Again, which is what it's called in America. And the BBC, political correctness, they didn't want to, I think it was a great shame because it would have picked up because Are You Being Served was very popular. I mean, it ran for years, you know, years and years and years. And it was very popular, and you knew all the, you know, Mrs. Slocum and Captain Peacock, and, you know, the characters were there. So introducing a new series called Grace and Favour, which, you know, and I mean, the premise of it was that they'd retired and they'd bought a country house to run as a hotel. And it was a fantastic set. It had the most. It was straight out of Downton Abbey. I mean, it had the wonderful staircase and the. And a guy called Mike Stevens directed. I don't think he directed all of it. He certainly directed the first series. And we had a lot of incidental music in that. And because there was a lot of incidental music, he could start. Most episodes started with somebody at the top of the stairs, and there was incidental music to cover the sort of 10 seconds while they got to the bottom and said their first line. Whereas if there was no incidental music, they'd have to start at the bottom of the stairs because you had to start with dialogue, but there was no incidental music. So he always got his money's worth out of the and the set, which was really impressive. I mean, it was just so impressive. And Molly Sagden and who else was it? Okay, your Captain Peacock. I mean, it was not all the originals, because I think some of it passed on. But yes, I thought it was a really good series, and it's very popular in the States. I mean, they had John Inman and Molly Sagden used to go out there and have tea with Mrs. Slocum, and and they used to do it sort of. It's very, very popular, you know, and it runs there all the time. But they do call it "Are You Being Served Again?" to pick up the following of that program. Well, Oh, Dr. Beeching, again, it was a sort of amalgam of the Heidi High people and you rang me, Lord. Well, I mean, mostly Heidi High, Paul Shane and Sue Pollard and so on. It's one that Jimmy Perry didn't do that. He did it with Richard Spendlove, because Jimmy said he don't know anything about trains, because Jimmy, everything that Jimmy did, he'd actually experienced. You know, he'd been a red coat, and he'd been in the Ensor, and I mean, that was, you know, he wrote about his life, and Jimmy was very pernickety about details, and on going back to your Angry Lord, we had a man called Ivor Spencer, who's a toastmaster, but he knows all about the etiquette of you know, where you place the cutlery and which side to serve the food and all that. And he was on set and he used to say, "Oh, no, the butler wouldn't do that," or, you know, that's not the way it's done. And it was really authentic. I mean, the whole of You Rang Me, Lord. And with Dr. Beeching, I mean, I thought it was a very nice series. I mean, it didn't catch on in the same way, and Sue Pollard is always so wonderful and gives such wonderful performances. I mean, she tears your heart out most, you know, so many times. I mean, the last episode of Heidi High, where she throws where she becomes a yellow coat and throws it up in the air. I mean, it's so touching. I know, going back to You Rang Me, Lord was Jimmy's favourite. Jimmy and David's favourite. They said it quite often, that, you know, they thought it was their best, well, because it was a 50-minute format, so that you could develop. So there probably weren't so many laughs in it, because obviously, you know, but there was a bit more drama, and there were you know, follow-on stories. They did try to, just before David died, Charles Garland, you know, who very much in the David Croft camp, was trying to edit it into 2 25-minute, because I think there are 25 episodes, and you need 50 to make it a sort of saleable series. And they were trying to, but it, you know, we sort of covered some of the holes with music. I mean, it sort of worked, and I think with a bit more time, it would have worked. David sort of approved the idea, and it's a great shame that it's not shown in this country anymore. But Dr. Beeching, I think we did two episodes, two series, three series, I'm not sure, something like that. But it, again, it, you know, occasionally things don't hit the mark. And I mean, you know, when you've had LOLO and Ain't Off Hot Mum and Heidi High and so on, I mean, it's hard to hit the public every time, you know.